steady in this. Thank you so much. It is true, your church has been supporting our ministry, the Migrant Workers Ministry, for a little bit over a year. And thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, the opportunity that you are giving us to come today and to tell you a little bit more about the ministry. So you are giving us the opportunity to serve these workers. There are more than 5,000 workers coming to BC every year. And thank you. Thank you because we have the opportunity to go to visit the workers, to pray for the workers, to support the workers, to help the workers. You are giving the opportunity to us to share the gospel to many, many, many workers from Mexico and Guatemala. We've been doing this for the last 11 years. It's been such a great, great ministry for us. It's been a blessing to have the opportunity to go back to Mexico and to visit the families and to pray for the families thanks to you. Not only to you, there are more churches from the Fellowship Baptist. The Fellowship Baptist has been a blessing. They've been so good. The Fellowship Baptist as a whole organization, they've been amazingly good for us, for this ministry, for my family. And we are very, very thankful for your support. And believe me, you are investing in something that is, you have eternal life results. It's not only what we do here, it's just to see people coming to Christ. And one day, we're going to be all together, including those migrant workers that came to know the Lord through this ministry. So thank you very much. So let me ask you a question, right? So what is the vision, the vision statement of this church? What is the vision statement? Say it loudly. So I don't know if this is something that you have every Sunday on your bulletin or there is something that just happens to be today. But is something that you use, you put on the bulletin every Sunday? Okay. So, excellent. So because I was thinking about that, right? So that's what we are talking about today. So I'm going to try to manage my time a little bit better. So, but to me, it's important to talk about the ministry, to talk about what God has been doing through this ministry. And at the end of the presentation, we're going to show some picture or some video about the ministry. And I'm going to share stories about the ministry. So that my relationship with the workers. It is very important for me that you are able to understand that it's a human part of the ministry. In we are serving especially in the South Delta area, Ladner, close in Richmond, and North Delta too, Surrey, Langley, is where we go to serve these workers. But at the beginning, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, more than that, they've been coming here to BC for almost 14, 15 years. So at the beginning, it was a little bit difficult for the workers to be accepted in those communities because people look at them just as someone they come in from other countries to take over opportunities they were supposed to be for Canadian workers. But nobody wants to do that job. Nobody wants to go to the farms and work for now, maybe before, but now, not today, right? To go and work 14 hours a day during summertime outside, it's hot, or 14, 15, 16 hours. It's tough, it's rough for these workers. But we want people to understand that the human part of the ministry, to understand that it's a big challenge for these workers. So leaving families for 8 months, leaving families for 2 years. Workers from Guatemala now have a contract for 2 years. After 1 year, they go back to Guatemala for 2 weeks to visit their families. And they need to come back to Canada and finish the second year. And after 2 years, they are able to go for 1 month. Just do the math after 10, 15 years coming to Canada. What relationship they have with their families. They don't have the opportunity to see the kids growing. They don't have the opportunities to celebrate Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, or birthdays, or wherever. They don't have that opportunity. It's a big sacrifice they need to pay in order to come here and to support the families. It's tough. It's rough. But at the same time, it's exactly what it gives us the opportunity to do ministry. Right? So to go and to talk with the workers, to listen about their needs, about the challenges, both here in Canada and back in their country, because it's a big challenge when they come here. They're missing their families. But having here the living, there is a house. I know a group of guys, 28 guys from Mexico, living together under the same roof. 28. Going back to work, going to work for 10 hours a day, going back home, and they want to cook, and they want to take shower, and they want to do laundry. 28. It's tough. It's rough. Yeah? Living in that small community is in so, so difficult. Probably it's the biggest challenge that the workers are facing is that. Living in with the co-workers. Work, for most of them, say that is easy. What is difficult is living with 28 people under the same roof. That's difficult. So we want people to understand that. So we are serving, we are helping, we are praying, we are listening to the stories. I was telling in that during the first service that a couple of weeks ago, a Mexican guy, asked me a question. And he said, Pastor, is there any opportunity for me to stay here in Canada as a permanent resident and to bring my family, my wife and my kid, to live here in Canada? And I told him, his sad and sure answer is no. No opportunity for you to stay here. You have to come, you have to work, and you have to go back to Mexico for many years as you want. And the reason why he wants to stay here in Canada is because he's having a little bit of problem with his wife. So they've been married for 5-6 years. They have a 5-year-old kid. But the wife told him, you know what, Alexis is his name. Alexis, I got married with you because I wanted to spend time with you. You're going to work for 8 months, so we don't have a relationship. And Alexis told me, it's difficult for me because I'm coming here to work because I want to support my family. But if I go back to Mexico, I have no job. I have no education. It will be so difficult to provide exactly the same things that I'm providing right now, because they are making a good money and they're able to buy or to have a better house and to send kids to school, to university in many cases. So he needs to take a decision. Coming to Canada and providing for his family, or staying with his family, with his wife. So it's a big challenge. Sometimes I don't have the right answer. This is difficult, just thinking about taking that kind of decision, right? So, but we want people, the churches, to understand that probably you don't see workers here. There are many coming to BC every year, and they're hard-working people. So, but I'm going to read from going back to the vision statement, right? So you have your Bible, going to the book of Gospel of Mark, Chapter 5. Beautiful songs. I love worship. Beautiful songs. It reminds me many, 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 many years ago, the first time that I went to visit my mom's church in Mexico. I wasn't a believer, I wasn't a Christian myself at that time, but I remember the hymns. I love them. I love them. Now we go to churches and there is just contemporary music, right? I love it too. But it reminds me when I went the first time to church with my mom. And that's special. That's beautiful. Yeah. Not many churches do that. Singing in. So Mark 5, please. And I'm going to, we won't read, I don't want to read the whole story. I'm just going to verse 18. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man, right? That's the whole story. But we're going to verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But thinking about the first part of your vision statement, to know Christ, that is something that is your responsibility as a believer. And I don't know how many years you've been in Christianity. I've been in Christianity. I've been a believer for almost 30 years now. I don't know what is your case. Maybe 10 years, 15 years. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family. But you know what? There is always room. There is always opportunity to keep learning and growing and understanding more about God and about the Bible and having better and closer and stronger relationship with God. With this, with the Bible and the relationship with God, this is never enough. There's no way that you can say that you reach to the point that there is nothing new for you. I'm pretty sure that you've been reading the Bible for so many years. You're going to start a new series about the book of Colossians. Probably it's about, I read it like 15, 20 times already. And the pastor is going to preach again about that, and that you have pastors and leaders coming here to visiting you and to share the best. I know that. I already know that. Maybe you have experience about going into missions, serving outside Canada, going overseas. Yeah. Maybe you are. You have a master. You have a Christian training. You went to a seminary. I don't know. Maybe you have 50 years in Christianity, but that's not enough. There is no way that you can come today and tell me that that's enough for you. There is nothing new in your relationship with God. No way. There is always something new. There is a new opportunity. There is always something that God is trying to say to you as a church and as a person. This is like your relationship, right? With your spouse. I've been married for 23 years. I know Veronica more, you know? And she knows me more now after 23 years. And maybe that might be your case. You say, well, I know my wife, 50 years. We've been married. I know what she's thinking right now. She doesn't need to speak at all. My experience is there is always something new in my relationship with Veronica. Always. So far. And I'm pretty sure that it's going to be something new in 10 years if God is giving me the opportunity to live 10 more years. The same is with my relationship with God. And the church is doing its part. The church is giving you the announcement. You have everything that you're going to do in the next few days. That you have the youth ministry, the woman ministry, the men ministry, the small groups. The pastor is getting ready. He has a formal training. I don't have a formal training. The pastor does. He's getting ready. So next week he's coming and teaching you from the book of Colossians. So the church is doing what it is supposed to do, helping you to grow in that relationship. But at the end of the day, if you go through the Bible, it's your responsibility. We want to pass the responsibility to the church, and we blame the church because look, the pastor that invited us today. It's a Mexican guy. That's an accent. I need my Google translator, right, to understand this guy. Now, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility about that, keeping that relationship stronger and closer. But it's on you. There's no way. One day, when you go and you face God, that you can blame the church. Oh, no, they didn't help you. Please don't do that. The church is doing everything possible. But that's the first part. Keep growing to know Christ, to know God better. That is on you. But the second part, to know Christ and to make Him known. This is where it gets a little bit more tricky, more challenging. I'm not saying that the first part, to know Him, is easy. But it's a little bit more comfortable for us to do that, right? To come to church, to listen, to go by home, to read the Bible all by myself, to do my devotional. I love my turning point. I read my turning point with Dr. David Jeremiah. Maybe you know him. I read that every day in the morning. And I love them. Maybe you do that. So it's kind of easy, comfortable to do that, to grow in that relationship. But the second part is different. To make him known. Especially nowadays, right, that it's a little bit more challenging for us as a believer to speak out. I live in Surrey. I don't know if you know Surrey. Yeah? But where we live, the East Indian community is big. It's big. They're taking over Surrey. They're controlling Surrey. And you know, when the politicians, they are like, you know, I just hope that you are not in part of that, any party, right? I'm sorry. But the politicians, they do everything possible to gain the votes, right? So, you know what is so interesting to me is to see they celebrate something that is called Diwali, something like that, right? Yeah. And it's a big celebration in Surrey. They close the streets for a couple of days because there is a parade and the food and some music and everything, and you can see the politicians going and wearing the thing here because they want to go to win the votes, and they're celebrating the schools, everybody talking about Diwali. We wanted to buy some tickets to go to see the Canucks, yeah, the hockey. But when we saw that day, there was the Canucks, they were advertising that particular day as a Diwali night. They said, I'm going to watch the Canucks. I live in Surrey. They're celebrating that in the community. Now I'm going to watch the Canucks, and it's going to be exactly the same. I'm not going. He said, no, but you know what? You don't see anybody doing anything during Christmas. You don't see anybody doing anything about Easter. You don't see the community. You don't see that they close the street. You don't see that the politicians want to support us. It's difficult now to make him know. It's difficult for my kids at school to say they are going to a Christian church. For Veronica at work to say something about Christ, about church. Because they look at us like a weird people, a fanatics, a crazy people. In many cases, we don't have the answers to many questions. When someone asks me about heaven and hell, oh, no. We are going. Everybody's going to heaven. It's difficult when they start asking, is there only one way? Yes, it's only one way. But you don't want to say. What about when they ask questions about divorce? What about adultery? What about sex before marriage? We don't want to get into those conversations. It's difficult for us to speak out. What about same-sex marriage? We don't want to say anything. I don't want to be called homophobic. So it's difficult. It's difficult for us to speak out. And what about having that feelings of being afraid about rejection. There is one of the workers. His name is Marcos, worker from Mexico. And he came to the Lord, I think it was maybe 6-7 years ago. So we shared the gospel, and he came to Christ. And we spent time with him praying and going through the Bible. But he was very, very afraid about going back home and sharing with the whole family about the gospel and about his decision. He said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. And you know what now? He went back to Mexico, and after a few months, he shared the gospel with his family. And I think it was 2 years later that the whole family was baptized in a Christian church in Mexico. Yeah. And now the guy is coming back to work here in Canada. I met him here, and then he went to Leamington in Ontario. And you know what he was doing? He was inviting workers to go to a church, a Christian church, every Sunday. And now he came back here to work again here in BC. And the group of workers, because 90% or 95%, especially of the Mexican workers, are from the Catholic background. So it's difficult. So being in the middle of 10 guys that are Catholic, for Marcos that is Christian, he's always under the microscope, right? They're looking at him as just waiting to say something bad or to do something wrong. So it's difficult, but he's sharing. So little by little, now the guys are asking questions to Marcos. And Marcos is opening the Bible and sharing the gospel to these people. Yeah. In a very simple way, the same way that I do. The same, very practical. It's our ministry. But that's what is happening with some of these workers, right? It's a big challenge, and I'm pretty sure that maybe it is for you too to share the gospel, to make him known with your family and in your community. But going back to the story or to the verses, the Lord, Jesus did not let him, but said, just go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. That's all. Two things, just go, stand up, go. That's a decision that I have to make. Coming to church and listening and learning and taking advantage of all the opportunities, in a good way, all the opportunities that the church is giving you to grow, to keep stronger your relationship with God, that's fine. But now God is saying, go. Now you go and tell your story. He wasn't asking him to go and share 100 different verses about salvation. Give me your theology. Talk to me about tribulation. No, just go and tell your story. I'm pretty sure, you know, this is the first in the morning we have the contemporary service. Now we have people with experience here. I know that you have so many stories to share. I'm pretty sure that you have many, many, many different stories that you can talk with people and you can tell them, God has been so good to me. Do you have any story? Just go and share. Go and tell. Go with your own people, your friends, your community. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. In my case, God is being so good, so kind to me. I came to Christ almost 30 years 30 years ago. And but before I came to the Lord, I was sad. I was empty. I was kind of depressed. I was desperate because I was lying to my family. I was lying to my parents. I was lying to my dad. I was supposed to go to university, and I didn't. But every day in the morning, I left my house and I told them I'm going to school, and I didn't. And I didn't go to school. I was just going around the city. Mexico is a big city, so many places to go, wasting time, wasting my time, and wasting my parents' time, and wasting their money, and all the sacrifices. So just to give me the opportunity to go to university, and I didn't. But I didn't say anything to my family. I went to every morning, early in the morning, I went out, I came back home, and they asked me how was school. And I lied and I said it was good day. I played football, American football, for many years in Mexico. I spent most of my time just going to practice, going to the gym and trying to be a good player, but I wasn't able to perform as a player, because I was thinking about my family, that I was lying. And my dad passed away, and I never told him. I never came clean to my dad. And when he died, I was supposed to be just pretty close to graduation. So he was happy that I was about to graduate from university. Not even close. And I was lying. It was painful. It was difficult. So my dad passed away. He never knew about my life. I can cling to the rest of my family. I spoke with my mom. I told her. And I made some changes for a few years, for 5 years. I was a good person, a good man, a good son. I was supporting my mom. But after 5 years, again, the same thing. I went astray, doing the wrong things. And I was again lying to my family. And it was painful again. Until I felt that the need to leave everything behind. I needed to do something radical. But I knew, well, now I know that it was the Holy Spirit talking to my life. The Holy Spirit touching my heart. Because I went back one day and I said to my mom, to my mom, I'm leaving. What do you mean? Yes, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave everything here, and I'm going to Canada. Why Canada? I don't know why Canada. Obviously, there are so many things in the middle of my story that say I want to go to Canada. I don't want to go to the States. Any Americans here? No? Because I want to say that this is much better, right? So, yeah. And I say, I want to go to Canada. So my mom told me, you know what? Go. Try. And try hard. And I came. Yeah. But before I left Mexico, my mom, she's been a believer for so many years, a Christian. So she said, let's go to church first. Yeah. And I said, let's go. And again, let's go to church. So let's go. And I remember they have a guest speaker from the States. He was preaching in English, so someone was translating, and he preached from the book, from Mark. And then he made the invitation to open the hearts and to receive Christ, and I did, because I felt that need, because I was taking a radical change and coming to Canada with no friends, no family, no knowing anything, where to go, what to do. And I said, but I'm going. But I opened my heart to Christ, and I came to Canada. I left everything. I saved some money. Sold my car, and I left some money for my mom. He said, I'm going to Canada, and I came to Canada. 2 weeks later, after I arrived here in Canada, I went to visit a church, Hispanic church, in Vancouver. When I went to the church, something special happened to me. I met Veronica, my wife. Yeah. 2 weeks after I went to the church, 6 years later, after we I met her, okay, my time is that's it. But let me tell you, let me finish my story. So we got married, and now we've been married for 23 years, almost 24 years. And I have two kids. One is going to university, and the other one is getting into grade 12 this year. I've been serving with the fellowship for many years in this ministry, for 11 years. But I've been with the fellowship for almost 20 years, working with the Fellowship Baptist organization. I have had the opportunity to go to many different churches. Now I have the opportunity to be here, standing before you, sharing something about the Bible, and sharing something about the ministry. So God is being so good to me. He's been so kind to me. He's been merciful to me. So I have a story to tell. I have something to share with people. I can tell people about my experience. It hasn't been easy. A lot of challenges, right, in the middle of those years. There are many, many, many different things that I can tell you about the whole story. But God is being faithful to me. God is being good to me. And that's what he told these guys. Just go home. Go with your friends. Go with your people. Go with someone and share your story. And we were talking about in the morning and said, you know someone in your family, in your community, that you can share your story, your experiences about your relationship with God, and it's going to be an important story for someone. But you need to go. He's not asking you to go with a lot of knowledge. You don't have to have a master degree or PhD. You have to have that thankfulness and the willingness and the love for God and to have that strong relationship and to go and to share your story with someone and to tell them, God is good. You can go and talk about the opportunities, new opportunities that God can give you. Hope, redemption, salvation. And just to know that He promised to you and to me that He is going to stay with me for every single day of my life until my last day. That is something that you can go and share your story. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And you go and share what God has done for you. Amazed to see that there is a God, the Creator, that has a personal relationship with you and that He's been good to you. And now you have to go and to share your story. Whatever your story is, it is important for someone out there. You have to have an extreme or those impressive stories or testimonies about coming out from addictions. Your story is important for someone. Let me show you a few pictures just to finish. You've been so good to me, and I don't want to take advantage again about time, right? So I'm going to go just with the 30 minutes. Have more to say, but maybe next year you inviting me again. So let me show you this. We have pictures about the different things that we do in ministry with this ministry, with these workers. And every time that we organize something, we open the Bible. We share a story from the Bible. And so we have the opportunity here to go to one of the greenhouses. It is important for us to have a connection with employers because the workers live inside the property. The houses are inside the property. So I have to have that connection with the employer. So we go with my family, Veronica, and her family. So we prepare, we cook, and we prepare food for the workers. So we go to the greenhouse. We use one of the lunch rooms. We set up everything, tables and chairs. So just we wait for the workers, and that is very, very convenient, very effective to do it that way. very effective, very convenient. We save a lot of time. We save money. So we don't have to use to ask the volunteers. We have such a nice group of volunteers to help us to go to pick workers, to take them to the activities, and then go back to take them again and to take them back home. So we have those volunteers. But in this case, doing the activities inside the greenhouse, very convenient. So we go, just Veronica, her family, and myself. So we go with everything ready. Okay, and now you can see all the workers. That usually we have around 80, 100 workers coming to that those activities. So we serve food, we pray for them. In some cases we have music, and then we pray. We preach. We share the gospel. So either we go to the greenhouses, we just finish our soccer tournament that we put together during summer. We have the game, we have food, and then at the end of the games, I ask the workers, with this picture we are not able to see, but we usually we have 100, 120, 25 guys coming to the games, and then we preach. Same thing, we are using we go to Ladner Baptist, obviously in Ladner, they've been so good to us, because Ladner is in the middle of the greenhouses, right? So it's very convenient for us to use that building. So we use the gym on a regular basis for whatever activity, to play indoor soccer. We invite workers, we have dinner, and then we preach. Same thing here, right? The preaching. And at the end of the season, and this is the time, right, when Mexican workers are going back to Mexico. So what we do is that we invite small groups rather than, instead of having 50, 100 guys in different events, we invite 15 guys, 8 guys, 10 guys, wherever. So we invite them to come to our place, to come to our home. We share food with them, and we pray, and we share the gospel with the workers in a more personal way. That's such a nice, we want to start doing that this month. To bring small groups. Same thing after the game. Yeah, so we invite people, so whoever is wants to receive Christ, so we pray for them. And I have a video, I don't know if you can. We don't need the volume because it's in Spanish, or you can go very low. This is in one of the activities, what I'm doing just at the end of the activity. I'm preaching, and it's the moment that you can see one by one the guys coming forward, inviting people to receive Christ. So that's what we do, is you're helping us to do that, right, to share the gospel. And now we have seen it, that these guys are going back to Mexico and Guatemala and sharing the gospel with the families. I've been visiting workers for the last 5 years, 6 years. I've been in Mexico, so many different places, visiting the families and praying for the families. So special to see when I go to those places that the family already know me, because the workers go back and share everything that we do here in ministry. I was telling that during the first service, one of the trips that I did 2 years ago, I was invited to go on to visit this family, and Luis is his name. At the end of I spent 3 days with them, with Luis and his family. He organized such a big dinner. So he invited a group, almost 30 people came to the dinner. And at the end of the dinner, he asked everybody to come outside. And he introduced me to the rest of the family and friends and relatives. Because it's a pretty small town where he lives. And he said, this is Pastor Carlos. And Pastor Carlos is going to say something to you, and he's going to pray for you. So, but the opportunity to get to that point is thanks to the ministry that we do here. So I pray for these people. I share something from the Bible, 30 people. After that, so woman went to start cleaning, and 10 men came to me and started asking questions about the Bible. I spent almost 2 hours sharing the gospel with these people. And then, so at the end, I prayed again for this guys. So everybody left. 20 minutes later, half an hour later, 3 guys came back to the house. And they said, we want to talk to you. And start asking more questions about here, Canada, and start more questions about the Bible. 3 guys. And they said to me, we came to this dinner because the food and the drink. But you know what? Thanks God, thanks to you, we are taking something much, much better. We're taking God. And that's what we do. We do ministry here. But you know what? It has a spiritual effect in both Mexico and Guatemala. Thanks to you. Thanks to many churches that are supporting the ministry. Thanks to the Fellowship Baptist. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. That remember, keep growing, keep learning. But go and tell your story. There is someone over there that is needing that story. That is going to be important for that person to listen about everything that God has done for you. That He's been good and kind and merciful for you and your family. In the midst of all the challenges that we have to face, sickness or financial problems or family problems, but in the midst of all those challenges, God is being so good to you and to me. God bless you.